The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remains of my flock out of all the hands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness, word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river and streams that make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord, what desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and scatters the spear, and burns the shield with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory to your Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots for to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus was dying on the cross, and four times he was taunted with this question. The leaders scoffed, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And they nailed a sign on this cross, on this execution instrument, "King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who was suffering the same death penalty derided him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." This last question, this last statement, is an important one to pay attention to. That's the question that continues to echo through the centuries. Save yourself and us. And us. Why don't you save us from the cross? And then we hear these words from the letter to the Colossians. "You, Christ, are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In you, Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created. You, Christ, are the head of the church. You, Christ, are the firstborn from the dead. If this is certainly true, then you, Christ the King, should be able to save yourself from the cross. And certainly you, Christ the King, should be able to save us from our crosses. I've heard that question, and maybe you have heard it as well. King Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why didn't you save yourself from the cross? King Jesus, why don't you save us from our crosses? King Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why didn't you save our loved ones who died of cancer? Why don't you save those people who are suffering under the cross of addiction or depression or fear? What about the homeless? What about those who are living in poverty? What about those who need our contributions from our own shelves to provide food for their families? King Jesus, why don't you take those crosses off of their backs? Why don't you take the cross off of our backs? If you can't do that, maybe we're looking at the wrong king. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, the day we celebrate Christ as the creator of the universe, the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead. What kind of a king is this? What kind of a king doesn't use his power and his influence to get himself off the cross? What kind of a king doesn't use his resources and authority to get you and me off of our crosses? What kind of a king allows so much suffering in his kingdom, in his creation? This question is at the very mystery of God, the very heart of love. In the cross, on the cross, we meet the mystery of God, where God chose not to avoid the suffering of this world, not to avoid the pain of those whom God calls his beloved children. But we aren't God. We try to avoid suffering. When the cross is on our back, we complain. Why me, God? Some people get so angry at God when they have a cross. Some people get so angry that they abandon their faith. They abandon their relationship with God. Now, the whole world is suffering, but when it becomes personal, when it's me or my friends and my family, when something goes wrong in my life, then I start asking the question, how can I get out of this suffering? Why do I have to suffer? Where is Christ the King now in my life? It is clearly not the nature of God to avoid suffering, not the nature of God to avoid pain or the places of pain. It is the nature of love to enter into the pain and suffering, to be with those who are in pain. I think of you parents and grandparents who have sick children, who spend so much time going to doctors and hospitals. And many of the medical problems that are being faced are not simple. Some of your little ones have complicated diseases or conditions. Why is it that when a sick child goes to the hospital, it's immediately followed by parents and grandparents? You're at the hospital spending days and probably nights with your child. You will not allow yourself to be separated from your child, if that is at all possible. And why is that? It seems that love is stronger than pain, stronger than the suffering. These parents' love is stronger than pain. Love is stronger than the fear of pain. And that's why even people who say, "I hate hospitals," are right there with the one that they love. They don't want their little one, they don't want their loved one to be alone. And so it is with God. God doesn't want us to be alone at our most fearful or painful moments. When my mother got really sick, I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be with her by her bedside when she died. It's not a pleasant thing, but you could not have kept me away, nor my siblings. That's the way it is with love. You can't stop loving people from being with the ones they love. It's the nature of love, even to be in those places of pain. And so it is with God. That's the nature of God, to be with people in the midst of their suffering and pain. God doesn't avoid those places of pain and suffering. In fact, that's right where God is. This weekend is the 3-day walk to raise money for breast cancer awareness or breast cancer research. St. Peter's is about the halfway mark on the halfway of the 60 miles that they walk, 20 miles a day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And yesterday morning, our parking lot here was filled with porta potties and a tent that covered buckets of ice and water and Gatorade and streams of pink-clad walkers came by. We opened the church hall so that these people would have a dry place to sit down for a minute or two to change their socks and to put on new bandages on their blisters. It's raining now. To give them a few minutes to get in out of the cold and the rain, Darlene Truver and Terry Webster came over and spent the morning heating water for tea and hot chocolate and serving coffee to those wet walkers. I don't think I've ever heard so many, "Thank you, God bless you." It was a simple act of mercy, but it was so appreciated. "A cup of water in my name," Jesus said. But all those walkers and the supporters could have stayed home. They could have stayed home yesterday or today. They could have been in dry, warm houses with comfortable chairs and beds. Why is it that those people chose to walk, chose to give up so much of their time and comfort? Because love is stronger than pain. Love is stronger than worry, stronger than those places of heartache and pain. Many of the walkers were cancer survivors, walking to give back, walking to promote continued research and a possible cure. And so it is with God. Why didn't God stay in heaven where it was safe? If I were God, I think I would have stayed in heaven, snuggled into my comfortable throne, reading a good book, listening to the music of angels. That sounds more like heaven than a cross. But not God. When God saw all the pain and suffering in creation, God came down to be with us. God came down to be with us in our places of pain. God came down to be with us. God became one of us. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and our King says, I love you. I am with you. I give you strength and peace. I'm with you. No matter what your situation, no matter where your pain is, I'm with you. Trust that promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, our King says to us, I am with you. Amen.